Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
And Tony Bissell.
Caller analyst, Jeff Lagerman.
And Tony Bissell.
And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher.
And Tony Bissell.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening and welcome into Jaguar Central inside Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Time for Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. What'd you drop, Bush?
It's the same problem you've been having with the chair all year. Bill Prescott.
We just let him know.
He dropped his physique. I don't know where it went. He was coming in here all sweated up like he'd been working out, and he tries to give me a flex, and I'm like, what is he doing?
No, that was no flex.
Yeah, I know. You looked in pain.
I was.
So anyway, here we go. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. At Tony Buscelli, at John Osher with your tweets if you'd like to jump into that bandwagon. Still not doing that, right, Lux?
Yeah, just call me.
Okay, call him.
Should that be the off-season goal, Ryan?
You can't believe how many people say, why isn't Logs on Twitter?
I got to give people an old-school option.
I remember
call
when you didn't text.
Oh, dude, I'm a texting nut.
Now you are.
You know why?
Because right.
I don't want to talk to anybody. I can just text them.
Twitter's coming.
Right?
Yeah.
Twitter's coming.
Twitter's coming. It
for
will.
Me?
At
all
some
right.
point.
Well, you know, the whole social media thing might be big around here. I might have to.
That is true.
So I'll go talk to Ryan Robinson. Hey, say this for me.
I've asked a couple of people about their interaction with the new owner, and it's no email, text. He's big into the electronic communication.
Well, I mean, texting is just so easy.
Yeah, you bet.
You know, I mean, it's easy to do. It's efficient. It knocks a lot of the wasteful, you know, BS, hello, goodbye. You know, you get to the point.
Well, ask Buscelli. I mean, he tweets all day long.
I don't know about all day long.
Oh, there's some Sundays where I see.
Yeah, when I'm sitting there.
Yeah, in front of the TV.
No, I'm actually on the radio doing the game.
Oh, you're tweeting during. Oh, I thought maybe you were done.
No, during the game.
Nice. So you've had some good games this year.
Did you make some comments over the weekend that made some people angry and somebody took a swing at you, or what? You got scars on your head.
Well, that's my daughter. My 10-year-old daughter.
What'd you say to her?
No, the other day when I got back from the red eye from Denver.
Yeah.
I jumped in bed, and all three of my girls jumped in bed with me in a wrestling match.
You were in Denver?
I was in Denver.
Oh, I thought maybe that scar was from Tebow fending you off.
No.
Because you were giving him a hug. He was like, get away from me, Buscelli.
Enough already.
Nope, no hugging.
No hugging at all?
Hugging.
How is he?
Tim?
Yeah.
Good. We had a great conversation before the game.
What did he say?
Talked about the game.
You know who you were?
Yes, you know who I know, Tim. Talked about the game coming up, their game plan, and just all the attention. And he's pretty level-headed as far as not too high, not too low as far as – because I talked to him. We did the game, the first game he went in, the San Diego game.
Right.
When he was getting not any chance to play, and he was, you know, disappointed back then that he wasn't playing, but even keeled. And – going into that game with all the attention he was getting, pretty even keeled. I mean, he's pretty – I give him credit. He handles it pretty well.
If you're him right now, don't you wish you owned your own rights? Do you know how hard it is to get a Tim Tebow jersey?
He's
going to be all right, trust me.
I know.
No, but if he had his own brand, I mean, that place?
Yeah, it's Tebowed out.
Oh, they love him.
Elway had to give in this week. Did you see that?
They started chanting his name.
Well, he said he'd be on the team. I'm not sure he actually said he
for Elway, that's giving in.
Well,
they were chanting his name, and they are Tebow crazy. And I'll say this, first quarter of that game, they were kicking New England's rear end.
Yeah,
worst defense in the
rushing.
League.
No, I'm just saying,
I
but
hope
it,
he would.
And defensively as well. I mean, the defense was shutting down. Yeah. I mean, it was until they fumbled those two times.
And then reality set in.
Well, they fumbled twice in the game. Fumbled twice in a muff punt, it was over.
Somebody probably thinks we're baiting all the Tebow callers.
No. I'm a big fan of his. Love to watch him play. Love to see him do well. But, you know, if I'm a general manager, I mean, I'm taking the guy we got right here.
Even after last week?
Doesn't matter.
What was it about that throw last week to Chastid West that had you excited?
Just the ability to get rid of it quick, to throw that quickly and that on target, that far down the field, without even thinking about it.
And the fact that only a handful of guys can make that throw.
Very few can do that. You know, that's what impressed me. And you know, I've said this all year long, and I'm going to keep saying it. I mean, Blaine Gabbert has got oodles, for lack of a better term, oodles of talent. And I'm talking arm, just the ability to make throws. You know, and obviously –
playing quarterback's more than that, Jeff.
No, I know that. Trust me. I played quarterback back in the day.
Back in the
day. I know.
But I'm not making that comment pro or negative. Pro.
How'd you like that?
I thought you were going to go to the gamer card for a
Let's
minute
Let's go
there.
All the way back to the day when I was a star quarterback of the Colts, the Braves, the Lions. I know about quarterback.
I apologize then. No, my point is there's been a lot of guys who have big arms that did not succeed at the quarterback position.
Oh, yeah. Jeff George was, you know, number one. You know, prime
Ryan,
number one.
Ryan Leaf, huge arm.
Nah.
He did.
He wasn't Jeff George.
I'm not saying he was. I'm just saying there's other guys. You can't make a judgment about a quarterback just because he has a big arm, because there's a lot of guys in this league that don't have big arms.
So you don't like Blaine Gabbert?
I didn't say that. Oh. I'm saying, but if you're judging it just because he can throw the ball well.
No, I'm not.
I think that's an incomplete.
No, you're right. But he's got incredible arm talent. And everything that has come out on
him. Where would you rank that, though, in your decision process of judging or ranking a quarterback? Where in the importance of that position?
As far as evaluation?
Yeah, where is arm strength in that?
Well, I mean, I think it's arm strength and accuracy combined. I mean, that has to be number one.
Yeah, I disagree. I don't think that's number one. I don't think arm strength is number one. I don't think it's in the top three.
Well, I know what you're getting at. I mean, because a quarterback has to have it, which is hard to describe.
Forget the it factor for a second, but if I'm judging a quarterback, I judge it on accuracy.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, accuracy and arm strength to me are what I'm talking about with Blaine, that he has that.
Accuracy, presence in the pocket, intelligence, those would be before arm strength. And then the it factors on over encompasses
well, to,
all
well,
those.
To me, the it factor is way up high.
Yeah, I agree. That's over all of them.
Way
I'm saying, but
up
accuracy,
high.
Pocket, but I mean, to me, pocket at footwork or pocket presence and intelligence. Those things, I'll take those three above a super strong arm any day of the week. Now, you got to be able to make throws. I mean, Drew Brees doesn't have a huge arm. Peyton Manning doesn't have a huge arm, but they can make the throws they need to. But those other three, they're off the charts in those other three.
Yeah, but Blaine has arm strength. He has accuracy. You know, the things that he doesn't have right now are the pocket presence, which comes with familiarity with an offense, and also defenses. You know, the it factor, you don't know. You know, but there's a lot of things.
Yeah,
you just don't know.
No, I agree with it. It's way too early.
Way too early.
If you talk to people, what he does have that people don't give him credit for is the intelligence.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why you think that above anything else is why he gets the benefit of the doubt right now. Because a lot of the guys you're talking about being busts, Jeff George, Ryan Leaf, what you hear about them is that they didn't have that football savvy.
Well, and John.
That Blaine does and, you know, you hope will develop.
Jeff George was a turd.
Yeah, he didn't really have
Ryan Leaf was an idiot.
That's it on the
right.
other end
you
of
know,
the spectrum.
That's, you know, Blaine is neither one of them,
right.
them two things.
And so, that's why when people throw those names out with Blaine, I think that's going overboard the other way.
The one thing, though, that you hope that he has is some inner strength because of the criticism,
sure.
you know, and the opinions that people have. You know, because he's roundly criticized, you know, from fans, from writers, you know, whether it be local, national, whatever you call it. I mean, he's going to have some very thick skin to deal with what he's having to deal with right now. And, you know, to carry that through to next year, he's going to have a strong belief in himself and inner confidence. And I think he has it.
And so far, you know, it's hard to know. You have to trust what you're hearing on that front. But from when you talk to players and you talk to people around him, he's doing okay on that front. You know, now, is he really doing okay inside? I don't know how you read that, but that's...
Well, you stood in front of him after the Buccaneers game, and mm-hmm. I was up in the booth, so I didn't see the look in his eye. He sounded pretty good. I mean, that was after a win, I understand.
Well, he handled...
That was his best game, too.
But you know what? Brian, whether win or lose, he never backs away from a question.
Right.
Ever.
Well, that was what I heard.
And I
so
like that. You know,
confidence.
In the locker room, and you know, they lost a game, and I'm sitting there with a microphone, and he's like, you know, if you want me, you know, come on.
Right.
You know, and I respect that because there's a lot of guys that don't do that.
You're exactly right.
You know, Boselli was the worst. You know, lose a game, and he'd be
Osher.
Actually, that's
Osher, Osher. Frisco. Get
okay,
away
wait,
from
wait
me.
Wait a second. Let's just clear the air here because the idiot boy over here is making all kinds of
I give Tony a lot of grief on
ahead?
The air.
I love when he's got to stoop to name calling.
Since it's the holiday season, we'll clear be honest. Both of you guys were among the best I ever dealt with on that front. And, you know, I can recall many times, you know, there were guys I compared to you guys as I went on that front. Now, as players, you know, whatever. But in the locker room, you guys were great.
He's only drinking bottled water, so you
Christmas
take
presents
his,
in the mail, John.
At his face value. All right, let's do this. Let's take our first break. We've got a full load of phone calls. Get ready to jump in at Tony Boselli, at John Osher, at Jags Voice. Send the tweets. We'll get them on the air as well as the calls. When we return to Jaguars This Week, live from Everbank Field in Jacksonville on Jaguars Radio. We'll start at one. All right, welcome back. Jaguars This Week rolling along here at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. And we go to the phone lines, 355-NFL1. You know the drill if you're on the internet or listening outside the calling area, 800-355-6351. John is in Jacks Beach, first up tonight. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good evening, gentlemen. I kind of feel like maybe one of the most important things was not brought up between you guys when you were first discussing Blaine Gabbert, and that's just plain dedication to the job. One thing that I think is going to be telling to me anyway is what young Mr. Gabbert does with the off season. I'm kind of curious about whether he will be spending his time here in Jacksonville or not. I think that's going to tell me a lot about his dedication to the job and the town, and just exactly what he does with himself in the off season. And curious about what you gentlemen think of that.
I don't know if it, where he is important. I mean, Aaron Rodgers goes back to California the day the season's over, I understand. A lot of guys go to different places. It's what you do with your time wherever you are. And so, I mean, listen, as a Jacksonville guy, I'd love Blaine to make his home year-round here, but that's not the determining factor, in my mind, whether he can play quarterback.
No, but he's going to need to be here this year. I mean, you're going to have a new coach, a new system.
I agree
with
that.
He's a young player. He's going to need to get as much coaching as he can, and when they're not having the OTAs, the on-the-field days, he's going to need to be, you know, working with a quarterback's coach, offensive coordinator.
No, I agree with that.
So this year, yes.
Yeah, you would expect there to come a time very early in the offseason where you've got to keep him away. If, you know, we have to tell him to go away because he's here too much.
Yeah, and I get that.
At this point.
And from what I have been told, you know, I know when Gene Smith made the pick and selection, he talked about how he had a great work ethic, was, you know, workout nut guy. And from talking to Luke McCown this year, you know, Luke obviously has taught him how to prepare. And Luke is one of these guys that, you know, takes film home with him, you know. So
great note taker.
So, I mean, Luke McCown is doing, I think, is doing a great job of kind of showing the way for a Blaine Gabbert.
Well, and, you know, it's hard for us to know exactly how hard Blaine's working. But I can tell you, on Tuesdays, which is the player's day off and the day that I've always thought quarterbacks need to get in and be looking at stuff early, you always see Blaine in the quarterback's meeting room.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if he's out working other quarterbacks, but he's putting that in. Excuse me. But he's certainly putting that kind of time in.
Which
you're a little choked up over that stuff.
Yeah, I see that.
All right.
And I agree with you, Jeff, that everybody is going to need to be here this offseason with new coach, new systems, without a doubt.
Or system. Yeah, I mean, you know, with Mel Tucker being a
fair
candidate,
yeah,
it might be only a new system.
It might just be offensive. You're exactly right. That is going to be critical for the entire – if you want to play here, my guess is you better make some time and be here. My point to the – you can't get hung up, though – all the time, because there are guys that go have, you know, there's quarterback gurus that guys go work with, and they work their tail off to get better, and it's not in the city they live in. So I want to make sure whatever he does and wherever it is that he's working his tail off and working it smart and getting the right training to make him a better player. I think hopefully it's here. I think a young guy needs to, you know, make sure that he's in the right circumstances with some structure. But, you know, it's the right type of training that's more important than anything.
I'm a native St. Louisian. It's a great city. I bet he'll be here.
So what are you trying to say?
It's my hometown. I love St. Louis. The food is great. The people are wonderful.
What's a great point?
He's going to be here.
People ask all the time, you know, we made this home and it was year-round. I promise you this.
Yeah.
If I'd have got drafted by Cincinnati or Green Bay.
Yeah, you might have stayed in Colorado.
I might have, or we might have bought a home in California where mm-hmm. I went to school.
Well, Blaine is a loves to fish.
I was about to ask you. Didn't he ask you about fishing?
So this is my point is, I mean, I live here year-round and don't have to. I mean, this is a great place. So I think, you know, that's why you see a lot of guys
there. It would
be
surprising if work ethic is the issue. With
no, I don't think it is.
I don't think it is. He's a good Midwestern. Are you kidding? Right. Of course he's going to go to work.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Going to be fine.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351.
And he's going to be a good note taker.
You got to be.
I'm talking about Luke.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's learning a good note taker.
That's what Jack once told me. Mike joins us from the West Side. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
Really enjoy the show. Hey, listen, my question, I guess, is with the issues that Gabbert has in the pocket, how much is that from the offensive line, and how much of that is on Blaine Gabbert himself? And I'll take your comments off the air. Really appreciate it.
Well, it's both. In Atlanta, early in that ball game, it was on the offensive line. I mean, somebody's got to block John Abraham.
He only had 4 sacks and 2 forced fumbles. Come on.
I mean, he was left side, right side. You know, with Abraham, they flip sides with him. He's an open side defensive end now, and then they take.
Is he going to send gifts to everyone after he makes the Pro Bowl now?
Oh, man. He's a great player. He had great rushes against Guy Wimper. He had great rushes against Eugene Monroe.
Yeah, the one against Eugene, though, was a more. See, that's
quarterback's got to step
up.
That's
quarterback presence. Yep. That's stepping up. I mean, he ran into that sack, and Eugene had no – I mean, that's not on Eugene, in my opinion. And I'm biased. I like the
– And then William Rackley gave up a little bit on the inside. Yeah. You know, so early in that ball game, you know, Blaine was under duress. I mean, that can't happen. And I think with a young quarterback, it's very important for the protection to be good early in the game, just to let him settle. You know, if all of a sudden early in the ball game, you know, you're sitting there going, oh, my – then for the rest of the game, you're thinking, oh, my, again. You know, and that I think protection early has got to be better, certainly for a young quarterback that helps. But he's got to be better too. You know, there's some instances where, you know, he can get the ball out, step up, shuffle one way or the other, but that all will happen. You know, people forget that in the spread offense, you know, and I go back to this college thing. When the spread offense, you get the snap in shotgun, and it's throw the ball right away. And if it's not throw the ball right away, if it's not there on your first read, you're going to the second read and the ball's gone. You know, you don't have to take the snap, drop back, and create things in the pocket. The spread offense is all based on timing. Gone, gone, gone. The ball's out of your hands. You know, so this is all new to him, you know. So, and a lot of people just don't take that into account.
When you look at the offensive line going forward, do you feel like they're settled at 4 spots and maybe the 5th is right tackle and you wonder about Eben Britton, or do you think there's some areas in there where maybe it's not quite so settled?
Well, you know, I think, you know, going into next year with that offensive line, I think what you'd like to do is keep what you got, add a few guys to make it more competitive. And I think the group that you have, and if you add a few pieces here and there to make it more competitive, the better off that they're going to be. But, I mean, you're talking about starters. I mean, William Rackley needs to be pushed next year. And I'm talking pushed realistically. William Rackley is a young player, struggled this year. I think he's going to be a good player. But you got to have somebody in that's kind of sitting there going, if you ain't going to play good enough for that job, I'll certainly play good enough to take that job.
And but isn't Will sort of the right prototypical tackle. Guy who gets better the second year, Jeff?
Sure. I mean, he's changed positions, comes from a smaller school. You know, I expect him to get better. But you know what? You don't count on that. I don't think you can do that as a general manager. You don't count on that. You know what you do? You sign somebody and say, if you're not better, guess what? This guy right here is going to take your job.
Well, you ought to always be supplementing the offensive line every year in some capacity. I mean, it's a position you always, even if you think you're really good, you need to be adding a guy for depth, adding a guy to develop. I mean, that's sort of the ABCs.
Hey, next year, Guy Wimper, Evan Britton, let him compete for the right tackle spot. You know, you make sure that Brad Meester's back. Let Brad and
John
Estes compete for the center job. You had a few more guys. Hey, competition is always good.
All right, folks, so we go to break here. News at the bottom of the hour with this reminder that you could win a VIP game day experience to the Colts game, New Year's Day, from our friends at Gate. 4 game day tickets, 4 VIP Sky Patio Lounge passes, a limo for 4. Stop by your nearby Gate gas station and register. Jaguars fans, put Gate in your tailgate. News is next from our friends at News Talk WOKV. And then 90 more minutes of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Boselli, John Osher. Joe Fortunato. You can ring the cash register.
Merry Christmas, boys.
Merry Christmas. Do you
have any Christmas music? Don't we have some Christmas music somewhere that you could play in bumps?
No,
this is the last show before Christmas.
Jack took it all.
I'll sing next
week. You
don't
have any of
it? Hey, can I give a quick shout-out to some of the Jaguar players for the holiday things that they've
Please.
Done?
Do it, man.
You know, because, you know, this time of year, there's a lot of players that are really big in our community, and they don't get the notoriety or recognition for the things that they do. And I just want to throw a few things out there that some of these guys have done. You know, the day after the Atlanta game, Maurice Jones-Drew stopped by the Wolfson's Children's Hospital to distribute toys he purchased and gave them to children. He visited about 25 rooms, signed autographs, took photos, played games with the kids. Monday of this week, Blaine Gabbert took 25 children of military families on a shopping spree to Academy Sports. Prior to that, the kids received lunch from Winn-Dixie. He was joined by Luke McCown, Zach Miller and his wife, Mel Tucker's wife, Coach Russ Purnell's children, and Coach Ron Heller's daughter. And I have been given the exact dollar amount, but I'm not going to share it because it's not that important. But Blaine Gabbert came out of his pocket significantly for that.
Can I just add something real quick on that? I was in Academy Sports the other night doing a little Christmas shopping, and there were a number of people who work there who raved about him personally.
And on Tuesday, yesterday, the O-line, including the coaches Ron Heller, Andy Heck, they played Santa to 25 children from the Children's Home Society. Each member of the offensive line received a wish list and were responsible for 2 children. The group was provided dinner and dessert at Everbank Field before they received their presents. Very nice. And then Thursday, that's tomorrow, the wide receivers got something going on. They're going to be taking 35 children. And Brian, Sulzbacher Center?
The Sulzbacher Center.
Okay, just want to make sure I pronounce that right.
Right around the corner here.
The homeless center.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And it's an outstanding facility.
They do a great job.
They're doing Christmas shopping at Toys R Us. And by the way, when I was a kid, that was heaven. This time of year.
Good for them.
Each child will receive a $100 gift card to buy Christmas presents for themselves and family members. And this is just a sample.
Can I just take 1 minute here? Tony did something last week, Shop with a Jock. And I know you're not seeking this, but the Boselli Foundation, and I had a couple of kids that I shopped with, and they had earned, right?
Yeah, we do. We work with 100 kids every single day of the year.
Right.
Well, during the school year, after school to about 6:30. And of those 100 kids, at the beginning of the year, they're given a task list to do and behavior and everything else with academics and character and some other deals, and they could earn up to $100. And some kids earned 100, some kids only earned 20, but it was two things. One, so it's a great thing to do around Christmas to let them go shopping, but it also gave them a lesson that good decisions
you get what you earn.
Yep.
You bet.
You have to work. Nothing's, and one of the things we try to teach them all the time is we want to help and we're there and serve, and it's a free program. But you have to, there's a contract you have to sign to be a part of it. But your actions have consequences. And mm-hmm. if you work hard and you do the right thing, you have the ability to get good grades, earn money to go shopping, and a bunch of other things. So it was a lot of fun. But Brian came out.
He had a bunch of Jaguar players that were
there. A bunch
of
Jaguar players came and stayed the entire time, even when they
were wrapping presents.
Even after we said, listen, you can go home. I mean, it's over. They stayed and wrapped presents with the kids, and very
the kids. That's
very impressive.
Fred
very
Funk
impressive.
Was there.
A bunch
Jim
of golfers.
Was
Jim
there.
Furyk. A bunch
yeah.
of.
Here's the
it
point.
Was a good thing.
Here's the point. Current players, retired players, you do stuff in the community that
yeah,
you don't
yeah,
stand
yeah.
And beat your horn about.
Nope.
You know, A lot of people around here spend some time out in the community, and it's part of the NFL and the value to the community that gets overlooked in some places. But Jacksonville does it as well as any big city.
Well, let me say this about that, too, because if a lot of times all you hear about from the athletes is what they've done wrong.
Right.
Or the idiots, you know, that get in, you know, trouble with the law, get arrested, or whatever it is. And that is such a small percentage of the overall group. And as much fun as Sundays are, and listen, we want to win, and I think all of us are tired of losing. I think we could agree on that. Is if you look at the impact of professional sports and football in general, and then Jaguars in this community, make huge amounts of differences of a difference in people's lives. So
yeah, and holy cow, we're not even mentioning what Dolores and her crew do at the Jaguars Foundation.
Well, you know,
this time of year. My goodness.
Well, the Weavers, and I won't get the number exactly right, but I think it's over $55 million they've given personally and through the foundation over the last 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
That is a
staggering
big chunk of change, people.
Staggering.
Yeah, and that's
and they don't
that's
have
all
to.
Good stuff.
It's not, I mean, they're not obligated. No. None of, I mean,
this so. Market has been greatly blessed by having the Weavers here.
Absolutely.
And by the way, that brings me to this, and that is that the Colts game is, it's Fan Appreciation Day, but it's a chance for fans to show their appreciation to the Weavers. You can come and sign a 20-foot banner that will be displayed in the Pepsi Plaza from 10 till noon. You can also create your own banners showing your appreciation and bring them to the game for tickets, 633-2000, or visit Jaguars.com. I got a lot of phone calls. Before we get to it, I do have one tweet that I want to share. It's from Gaga in Florida, and it says,
would that be Lady?
The picture is of a man. So we'll just leave it at
well,
that.
You never know with her.
Yeah, it could be.
but the tweet's about you, big fella, and it says,
about me?
Sounds like Jeff is ready for Twitter. Make it happen, please.
Oh, no.
That may have just sealed that it isn't happening. Gaga in Florida with a picture of a man, but we'll leave it at that. You guys got anything before we go to the phone?
Yeah, I do. You know, it was,
no, you don't. You don't have any Twitter.
No Twitters. But do you know what? It was interesting in that this past year, I remember going through a lot of the old Jaguar photos, you know, and they've got kind of a library on the past players.
You bet.
And, you know, Tony, I, you know, it's all, I mean,
from
they
the
have just,
days.
You know, yeah, a million
great
pictures.
Stuff.
And I happened to find a picture that I'm going to get printed and I'm going to get signed. Me and Wayne Weaver embracing after a game.
Do you remember what game it was?
I don't remember the exact game, but that picture I will have signed in the next week and a half because it's a special picture.
You bet.
You know,
And there's a lot.
He's not going to want my autograph on it, but I want his. You know, for and it's kind of a thank you. And
can you imagine his memorabilia collection? And by the way, I think he would be touched by that, knowing him. Can you imagine his memorabilia collection? An owner in the league for 18 years, the things that he has accrued over the years. It must be staggering.
Well, I had a chance this week to sit down with him for a story they'll run on Jaguars.com next week, and as I left the office, I kind of told Wayne, I recalled a lot of times sitting in his office for the 5 years that I covered the team for the paper. And as I'm leaving, you know, there's boxes around, and he's kind of packing up, and some of the stuff's off the shelf. And it just kind of dawned on me once again, as it has several times in the last few weeks, just how different this community and so many lives would have been had he not put this team here. And, you know, say what you want about how the team's performed a lot of the times, but you can't erase the impact of putting this team in Jacksonville and what it's meant for the last 18 years. I mean, to have made that kind of a difference. And obviously he made money off the deal too. I mean,
sure,
he'd be the first one to tell you that.
Nothing wrong with that.
But as you guys said, it's been so much more, and the impact and what those two decades have meant is, the next few days and next few weeks should certainly remember that.
I somewhere in deep storage, there's a reel-to-reel of our early radio shows. We used to do a show on Monday night at the River City Brewing Company. And he actually called and offered me this job on the air. And I did not know it was coming. And I wish you could find that. We don't even have reel-to-reel players anymore, do we?
Couldn't find one.
Yeah. Maybe somewhere at a Goodwill. Anyway, he means a lot to a lot of people. And all of us can tell stories about him. And we probably will over the course of the next week. Let's grab one phone call, shall we, before we go? And let's take Ronnie, who's been waiting the longest in North Carolina. Hello, Ronnie.
Hi, guys. I'd like to discuss the head coaching search. I think the based on what the owner and Gene Smith and what I've been hearing so far from those guys, the number one thing that they want to do is definitely is to develop Blaine Gabbert around and get him in a good offensive system. And there, and a guy that's proven to have done that with several different quarterbacks is Rob Jasinski. And he also has a working relationship with Mel Tucker, which I understand from everything I'm hearing as well. They really like Mel Tucker, and this would be a way to keep him as the defensive coordinator and have Rob Jasinski as your offensive coordinator. And he's turned around guys like Derek Henderson. That 1 year, he made it the Pro Bowl, and that was when Rob Jasinski was part of that offense. And also the Cam Newton has developed. A lot of the credit goes to him, and he comes from a spread offense, which is the same as Blaine Gabbert. And I just kind of wanted to hear what your opinions are on somebody like Rob Jasinski getting a serious consideration for the job, and how would that work?
Well, I don't know if he's going to get consideration or not. You know, a guy that has, you know, a big-time offensive experience, or, you know, people view him as an offensive guru, I don't think is necessarily what it takes to be a head coach. I mean, a head coach to me has got to have organizational skills and leadership and be a leader of men. First and foremost, it's the number one requirement for a head coach should not be, can he coach offense? Can he coach quarterbacks?
Which he might have, but I agree with you, Jeff. I mean, I can recall of the many conversations I had with Tony Dungy when I was with the Colts. One of the things he pointed out to me that I hadn't really thought a whole lot before he said it was the requirements that make you a great coordinator and the traits that make you a great head coach. He didn't say great because he wouldn't say that about himself, but, you know,
successful,
required for success in those positions are not similar at all in a lot of ways.
Nothing to do with each other.
Right, and a lot of teams do make mistakes by going after the hot coordinator and the guy is just not – a head coach in terms of setting a standard for an organization, in terms of setting a tone, in terms of
leading,
having that structure, leading, all those things. So it so happens that Tony was a guy who had both. Many guys have both, but one does not necessarily mean you have the other.
No, because I've been around a lot of coaches,
sure,
that were outstanding position coaches. I mean, holy cow, so have you. I mean, Mike Mazur, outstanding position coach.
Right.
You know?
Really good.
Greg Robinson, who I had in New York as a D-line coach, outstanding position coach. You think Mike Mazur and Greg Robinson made good head coaches or coordinators?
Right.
No,
well,
they didn't.
Yeah, Robinson,
and there's
did.
Some guys that are great coordinators, but then you take them out of that and then you put them one-on-one with players in a meeting room and expect them to coach an individual to get better. They
right.
don't do that good. You know what I mean? So everybody has a strength, you know. So, you know, could something like that happen? Yeah, absolutely, because I think this organization has great respect for a Mel Tucker, and that Mel will get serious consideration for the head job, and then if not for the head job, then certainly will get great consideration to stay on as the defensive coordinator. So, you know, I understand the scenario that, Ronnie, you're talking about, and could that happen? Yeah, I guess. I don't know enough about the guy in Carolina to make a comment on it.
He's well thought of. And he may very well be on the list, but that list
but
is...
But does not. He have the traits of being a head coach?
Right, the coordinators get a lot of play because it's something that you can see on paper, and it'll get a lot of talk on the websites and among fans. But the most important thing that happens in the coaching search is when the owner and the GM are sitting in a room with the guy, and they can get a sense if they've got the traits that Jeff's talking about. And that's what's important.
Folks, Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out, Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. This break, then a quick segment to wrap up the first hour of Jaguars This Week, live from Everbank Field and only on Jaguars Radio.
So this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year.
got a little Christmas music for you here this evening. And this is our final show before Christmas. Obviously, we are on the air on Saturday from LP Field in Nashville. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show starts right here on News Talk WOKV at 10 a.m. Sudeth pregame show picks up the network. Kickoff at 1, followed by the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. Where are you this week?
New York, Giants, Jets.
Oh, sweet.
Wow. Well, that's got some drama this week.
Big sexy Rexy is just all talk.
At some point, wouldn't you shut up? Especially after last week when the Eagles just emasculated your
I
team.
I just don't
that's
think it's
style.
In his makeup.
That's just
you know?
His style.
It's just him.
Stick. Yeah, I'll be up there.
I know.
Barely get back in time for Christmas, but get back late that night.
You know, just speaking of the Jets, I know that there are a lot of people around here who were embarrassed by the performance in Atlanta. But if you're the Jets, aren't you more embarrassed? You're a playoff team, and you had your starters, and the Eagles did that to you. Isn't that the most embarrassing performance of the weekend?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, well, I'm not trying to push this one aside, but that was pretty bad.
I mean, that one is the worst because that was a beatdown. You know, and it meant something.
Yeah.
The Tennessee Titans going to Indianapolis.
That was embarrassing.
I mean, that's right up there, too, when you've got so much on the line.
The Vikings getting embarrassed at home against the Saints.
The who?
The Vikings.
Nah, man, I don't mean the Vikings.
It wasn't embarrassing for the Packers, was it?
We're talking about embarrassing bad losses this weekend. The Saints took it to the Vikings. Wasn't the Vikings they played this week?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Brees threw like 800 yards.
Are they kind of supposed to?
I mean, the Jaguars-Falcons game falls
maybe
into
if
that.
You were in here when we started the conversation, you'd be...
Jaguars Falcons kind of falls into that Saints.
That's my
Vikings,
point.
Right.
That's
it does. No, it does. It falls
two
there.
Kind of
expected.
What I was saying was that the Jets was by far the most embarrassing performance, you know, for a team over
the
weekend.
That's my point. I was trying to agree with you that they're different categories. I mean,
and I'm not trying to diminish it. I mean, it was not a good performance, but if you're the Jets and I'm going to Rex Ryan who's, you know, we'll beat the Giants. You know, we're the best team in New York. Really? You might just not say anything this week.
Do you see Tom's response? Tom said something along the lines, you know,
whatever.
Talk's cheap, you know, just play it on the field.
Yeah, can't wait.
It's going to be great. I'm looking forward
cheering
to it.
Cheering wildly for the Giants. 355 NFL.
Whose home game is that, by the way?
Jets.
Jets home game.
Jets home game.
Should be fun. Let's grab James in Kentucky with about 2.5 minutes before we break here at the top of the hour. James, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Going back to the beginning of the show, you guys were talking about Blaine Gabbert. I just had a few comments. Not really questions, you know, as a fan, you know, some of my viewpoints may be wrong. But my viewpoint on Blaine Gabbert for other fans that are down on him and want to already write the book off on him, you know, as has already been, you know, said, I want to beat a dead horse. But, you know, he is young. He's, what, 22? I'm 22, so I can imagine starting an NFL game. You know, I think he only started 2 years at Missouri. He doesn't have a lot of offensive help. So I think there's some things that need to be taken into consideration. And then a lot of other people that were saying we should have got, you know, Andy Dalton or Christian Ponder or some of those other players. You know, they don't, you know, Christian Ponder hasn't looked that good. I know in the Ozone, John, you got that question and you defended Gabbert pretty well. And then
job, John.
Another real quick point, you know, with Andy Dalton, I mean, A.J. Green, I mean, a lot of, you know, receivers, rookies don't come in and do that, but you know, I haven't seen one receiver for Blaine, you know, go out and, you know, fight for a ball. I mean,
if there's a lot of reasons for why.
Is your battery going out on your phone? Is that the beeping?
The beeping?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons as to why Blaine is not having an outstanding year. But, you know, I didn't say this on the air, but I said it to you guys during the break. I mean, you go back. I go back to when, what year was that? 1990, Troy Aikman's rookie year. I mean, when we faced Troy Aikman. Bad player. We thought he was scared. We thought he was timid. And at the end of the season, we didn't change our opinion of that. The following year, the Dallas Cowboys end up drafting, is it Steve Walsh?
Yeah.
I want to make sure I get the first name right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Steve Walsh.
Steve Walsh in the supplemental draft. You think the Cowboys?
With the equivalent of a first-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, that was a first-round pick.
Right.
You know, so... last time I checked, Troy's in the Hall of Fame. Now, I'm not saying Blaine Gabbert's going to be a Hall of Famer. I'm not saying that. But just don't judge a rookie quarterback after his rookie year and say, that's it, that's what he is, we got to get rid of him.
This is that rare situation, and you know maybe we talked about it off the air or on. The jury is so out one way or the other. And it's still up to him. It's almost like, in terms of judging him, it's almost like he's a rookie again next year. I mean, and the fans don't want to hear that, but that's the reality right now, is everything that you liked about him coming out could still be there. We've all seen what has to get better, and the offensive structure around him has to get solidified. There's a lot of modernization that has to happen. And, you know, once those things happen, then if we're still seeing the same things, still, you know, the same production, then you call the jury in. But
yep.
Until then, you really wait and see. And fans get very frustrated hearing that because they don't like what they see, but that's the reality.
All right, it's time for news. When we come back, we'll talk about Mike Munchak's comment that even if CJ plays on Saturday, he'll likely be, quote, somewhat not himself.
Yeah, he hadn't been that in 2 years anyway.
All right, here we go. News is next from the good folks at News Talk WOKV, then another hour of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on Jaguars Radio. All right, hour number two now. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna from Everbank Field. Just as programming note, we're this 2 hours tonight, 2 hours next Wednesday, and then the 2 hours are done, right? Joe?
Unless we get into the playoff.
So the 2 hours are done next week.
I think we've been officially eliminated.
Okay. Yeah, they have. All right, so I led into the news at the top of the hour with that Mike Munchak comment about his running back, essentially, and I'm gonna read the tweet that Glennon Sports out of Tennessee said. It said, Mike Munchak acknowledges that even if CJ plays on Saturday, he'll likely be, quote, somewhat not himself. Mm-hmm. And Loggy, you watched the tape today. You quip back very quickly that he hasn't been himself all season.
No.
What do you say about 930 yards?
Do you remember
yards?
My comments last year about him when he was up and I said, don't give him the money?
Right.
Because at the end of last year, when the Titans were out, I mean, the guy, his numbers were still okay, but he just didn't show the heart that you want to see out of a guy that you're going to pay a lot of money to. And this year, watching Chris, he seems timid. He doesn't utilize his speed anymore. He's indecisive. He is lazy in his effort when he doesn't have the ball, or at least when he thinks he's not going to have the ball. The interception that Hasselbeck threw this past week against the Colts, which was a pick six, if I remember correctly, that was the play. Chris Johnson quit on the route.
He did. He did.
There's been seven games this year, so that's half. Half of the games that Chris Johnson has played this year, he has averaged 3.0 yards per carry or less. That's not good enough, and the offensive line is good. They got one of the best offensive line coaches in their head coach in all of football. They were very productive in 09. How many guys were the same in 09 as from 09 to now? The tackles were the same. Jake Scott was the same. Eugene Amano was a guard at that time because Kevin Mawai was
right.
A center.
But they took Leroy Harris, who was a backup, moved him in at left guard in 10, and Amano over, so you've got four starters.
Four of the five players on offensive line from 09 when he had 2,000 yards.
These guys have been together 30 straight games.
And they're good now. I mean, it's not like they're all dropping off. There's holes there. I described a play to you guys during the commercial break. The hole was so big. And because Chris sat there and danced in the hole and didn't make a decision, it was embarrassing. And I don't know, Tony, you said something about his contract, but, I mean, that's the kind of guy you don't give $53 million to.
They can get out of it.
If they can get out of it, I would not be surprised if they will.
You know, I think he made 12 this year or something like that.
The guarantee was 31.
No, but it's not. It's only guaranteed for injury. It's okay. Not guaranteed for performance. They can cut him before, I believe, the league year starts this year and not owe him the rest of the money. That's what I was told by someone within at Tennessee.
And you'd be surprised based on what that organization is built on with Munchak and just, you know, what they believe in, having to run, if they bring him back. I mean,
they've been defending him all year.
Well, they have to because they're stuck with him this year.
Right.
And they need. I mean, they don't have much else.
But, I mean, that's a problem. You know, you're defending them all year.
Right,
you shouldn't have
right.
to defend a guy that you give $53 million to.
Hasselbeck did a nice job of trying to take the blame for the interception as much as he possibly could. But it wasn't very – I mean –
wasn't the only play that Chris Johnson quit on. There was another incomplete pass that Chris Johnson – you would have thought that it was, you know, a walkthrough. It was embarrassing. His performance in the Indianapolis game was embarrassing.
355-NFL 1-800-355-6351. At Tony Boselli, at John Osher. Got anything? Any tweets of interest?
Have you a good time for a call?
So you're saying you have none.
See, everybody wants to talk to me, and they don't want to talk to y'all. See, that's why they call me.
All right, Eric's at the beach. Perfect. Hello, Eric.
Go ahead.
You get any tweets there, Bobo?
Yeah, I got them. Well, I want to hear you. Just go ahead. We'll follow your lead.
Hello?
Hello?
Eric, talk to Jeff.
Yeah, this is Eric.
Hey, Eric. Eric. Jeff's ready for you.
Mr. Loggeman and everybody there, just a quick story. Sorry, I got a hoarse voice. Talking about what you all do for the community and all that stuff and everything is fantastic. My son in 93 was 13 years old, got hit by a car crossing San Pablo Road from school, and was in very, very bad shape for a week or better. And I ended up meeting Jimmy Smith at the marina, Pablo Creek Marina, with his dad. They were fueling up. I was living on my boat. But anyway, make a long story short, Jimmy Smith kept in touch with him. I met Jimmy at Palm Cove Marina again, too, and he called my son on the cell phone and everything and just totally kept in touch with him.
It's good stuff. I mean, that's the kind of things that, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You bet.
You know, Brad Meester with Luke Ackerstrom.
Yeah.
Same thing. And, by the way, they've got a new Luke Ackerstrom Award.
Saw that. The training staff is going to give to a player who exemplifies the same.
Well, no, it didn't say player.
It didn't?
It said Jaguar.
Okay.
Which I think that signifies that it could be a player. It could be a staff member. It could be a lot of folks.
Broadcaster.
Could be a senior writer.
Could be a senior writer. You know,
could be the interim head coach with the knee, the quad injury. This
absolutely,
year.
That's what I'm saying. You know, Mark Duffner had the what do you have? The hip.
Yeah.
Hip done.
So, but it's about their perseverance and attitude in their rehabilitation process,
mm-hmm.
and that'll be named next week. The very first.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Well, I'm out then.
And by the way, just another quick item along
yeah,
those lines.
Too.
The Ed Block Courage Award winner for the Jaguars was Jarrett Dillard, and there's a player that exemplifies courage and rehabilitation and overcoming, and there's one from every team, and then they get together at a national kind of a convention thing, and then there's one national winner that's picked.
Right.
And Jarrett Dillard was the one because he had broken ankle 2 years ago. Well, actually a fractured fibula, which is ankle.
In the Jets game up in New York.
And then he had a foot, and then he had a stress fracture on top of that. So, I mean, it's been a long road for Jarrett mm-hmm. Dillard to get back on the field on a consistent basis.
IR the last couple of years.
Tony Boselli, past winner of that Ed Block Courage Award, too.
Yep.
Just throwing it out there.
Thank you, John.
Right. That's one of those awards.
You two work well together, you know.
We do.
Thank you.
We're close.
That's one of those awards you never want to win.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, something bad happened the year before.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah.
I'd have preferred not to win it.
Yeah.
Hey, coach.
It's not a... We're not saying that it's a bad thing, but it's something that you'd rather not be a candidate for of winning.
Who could be a candidate right here.
Right. Yeah, there he is right
there. We were just
there.
Mentioning... head coach Mel Tucker just stuck his head in. We were just mentioning the new Luke Ackerstrom Award that you could be a candidate for having your quadricep reattached this year.
Never missed a snap.
You know, you never missed a snap.
I'd be honored to be a candidate.
Here's the thing. Did you have a good attitude in your rehabilitation?
I did. I thought I had an excellent attitude. Okay. And, every day was a great day.
Qualification there.
Okay.
Do we have to read? Let's read it line by line.
No.
I got it right. It's the award will be given annually to a member of the Jaguars family who exemplifies the exceptional qualities during their rehabilitation, consistently demonstrated by Luke during his amazing recovery.
Mel Tucker.
Okay. Is that
we
it?
Nominate
that's
you.
All the. That's
sounds
all the,
like Mel.
That's all the qualifications?
Yeah.
Mel, are you a candidate yet?
I am a candidate. I do have to admit, though, I did miss One day.
that's a mark against you. We're going to put that down.
That might take me out. That might take
this
me out.
This is like an Iowa caucus for, you know, we're nominating
we're
you. Stumping. We're voting right here. Yeah,
we're pushing
in
hard
the same
for you,
room.
Mel, to be the first award winner of the Luke Ackerstrom Award, and which is obviously the young man that Brad Meester has kept in very tight touch with throughout his rehabilitation process.
No, seriously, that would be an honor, and
I
would love to receive that award. And if you guys would so graciously,
I don't think we have any say in it.
but you just got 4 minutes live on the radio.
And Mel, before you go,
you got a shot.
Are we live?
You got a shot.
We are live.
That is the line of the night.
And by the way, we were just talking about Jarrett Dillard won the Ed Block Courage Award. Tony actually won it, but Tony and I were just talking that
that's an award we don't want to win.
Yeah, that's
right. I mean, something bad happened the year before.
As a player, that's not an award that you want to win, but if you do win it, I mean, Jarrett Dillard's a guy, 2 years IR, this year he's come back, he's worked hard. You know, last week had a tough week, but he's worked hard to get back to where he is, physically.
Yeah, absolutely. JD's done a great job, and when you get that award, you know, you're nominated by your peers and guys that see you working, you know, day in and day out to get back. And we had a couple of guys who were nominated. And for JD to win an award like that, being nominated by his peers and voted on by his peers, I mean, that's huge to have something like that, to get that type of award. And JD's done a great job, and expect him to finish strong down the stretch here.
Hey, well, before you go, Merry Christmas to you and Joel.
Yes.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas to you all, and to all a good night.
Absolutely. The multi-talented Mel Tucker. Coach, thanks so much for sticking your head in. We certainly appreciate it. Have a good rest of your evening. And at this point, we
he was like Santa Claus today, by the way.
Yeah, you were Santa Claus.
Thank you again.
Yeah, you're very gracious. It's great to have you, Mel. That's the coach, ladies and gentlemen. We take this break and return with more Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna here on Jaguars Radio.
From an act.
Sounds of the season here for a couple of days. Sarah McLaughlin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I'd like to make an announcement. Finally, after
16 weeks.
16 weeks of being stiffed, lied to, cheated, manipulated, Jeff Logman is finally delivered on my Swiss Bueller.
Or Bueller Swiss.
Bueller Swiss. I knew those two words went in some order, not sure which way.
Right. Arm strength and accuracy, either one.
Either
right.
way. I received my watch. I've been duly compensated.
Get your chicken now, baby.
I've been duly compensated.
So you'll come back on next week.
I'll be back next week. This was the drop dead day where there would be legal ramifications. And my attorney no longer will be contacting Mr. Logman.
Here's the question now.
Pretty it's nice a beautiful watch, too.
It's a very nice watch.
Very nice.
It'll be wrapped up and given as a Christmas
gift. I can't decide. Right? I had already determined I was going to give this away as a Christmas present, but now it's nice enough where I might keep it for myself.
I'm not going to throw any.
Merry Christmas to me.
Merry Christmas to me.
I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but, you know, I got the watch, and then there's another watch that we get to give out to the player of the game. And
are
so,
you saying I didn't get the nice one?
No.
Be glad you got that
no.
one.
Okay. So I open it up and look at the watch, and it's a gorgeous
watch.
Yeah,
this is really nice.
I mean, it's hip.
Very cool.
Beast, you know, Boss, all those cool
trends. Probably too
cool for me. It's way too in style. I mean,
for a guy who
khaki
drives
pants
a little truck with 140
So I look at it, and I say, hey, that's a really nice watch.
I'll look good in New York with this.
You will. And Joe has got a watch for
Coughlin
this week's player of the game, and Joe says, let me look at this watch, and if it's a chick watch, let's give that to Tony.
Okay, but you stop. Why are you stopping there?
Oh, thanks, Joe.
Because I showed him the watch, and it's a nice watch. Actually, it's a cool watch.
It's very nice.
Well, no, the other watch. Oh. It's not a chick watch. And he says, and he says, no, that one's too cool. Let's give him this one.
No, we'll let you pick it, bro.
That hurts.
You can pick whichever one you want, but I like that one.
You got to understand. Joe
that,
wants
that watch says class. The other one says I ride Harley.
Oh, it's gone.
Right?
It's packed away. It's gone.
It's but I'm right,
away.
Though, right?
Yeah, it's set up the same way, but it had an orange band
bright
and an
orange
face.
Bright orange band. Dude, that ain't you.
Like
oh, but you know what?
Like
I'd have given that to my
14-year-old
because his favorite color is orange. That's all right. He'll be heartbroken.
But you've got a watch.
But I got a watch, so forget him.
Merry Christmas to myself.
Absolutely.
You never go without on this show. 355-NFL. Do we have callers, or...
You guys missed out.
You want me to get that?
I mean, they're on hold, but you didn't put their names up.
I missed all you guys.
They're not on hold. They're just calling.
Oh, okay.
I missed all you guys.
I'm coming.
Missed you guys all last week. It was me and Pep and Joe's wife on the show.
On the Wednesday night show.
Yeah. It was
the lovely Linda.
If I'm not mistaken, I think I made an appearance on that show.
You did, but you were supposed to call back, and you never did.
And I thought you were kidding about calling.
No, I was dead serious, my friend.
Just a real...
Dead serious.
Also, let me throw hold on.
As I was getting...
Before you go, hold on. Just because we mentioned lovely Linda.
Right.
A big thank you to Linda because she made us a little dip with Ritz crackers.
And there was
tonight.
No food tonight.
And there's nothing left to the dip, Linda.
Say,
thank you.
It's to your left, so that may be a big reason.
It was very good.
The part next to it.
And I was, John didn't call back. He didn't do his job. And then I got Sexton mocking me with tweets and teasing me about the food he was eating as I'm sitting here with nothing. Very disappointing.
But you got the watch.
I got the watch. I'm happy.
It's worthwhile. At this point. You want to talk about the quarterbacks more?
Sure, why not?
Do we have to? I mean, haven't we covered
it? We don't.
Well, we can't.
Last call.
John, this is the absolute last thing we want to hear about the quarterback tonight.
Okay, guys. For one thing, Merry Christmas, because I know this is the last time I'm going to talk to you before that. And the thing is who do you guys suggest that should maybe work the person that should work with Gabbert on the off season, and then I'd like to give you what I think we should do.
I think Loggy. Loggy already talked about how he's a quarterback expert from his Pop Warner days when he ran the wing tee back in Virginia.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you believe this?
Gamer.
Funny story. My first
gamer.
I was a gamer.
Yeah, I bet you.
My first year ever playing. Second year because first year I hardly played. I sucked. But my second year playing Pop Warner, I was a quarterback. They actually let me call my own plays at 9 years old.
How many plays were there?
Three. Well, it was right, left, up the middle.
It was well. It was
go out to the 65 Cadillac and turn right.
Two plays.
It was the numbering system. You know, one is a quarterback. You know, then you got odd to the left for holes, even holes to the right, and so you had. 17 sweep, quarterback sweep left, 28 play would be.
My guess is you called your number quite a bit.
There was more 17 than 18s called in a game, maybe in the history of Pee Wee.
But back to John's question, I don't think any of us probably can give a name of the quarterback expert that's going to be here and who Blaine should work with. I know there's that guy out in California that Ben Roethlisberger and Cam Newton went and worked with. What's his name, John?
The guy in the Bay Area that Tom Brady's worked with for years.
Yeah,
too.
The hot guy is Roethlisberger and Newton's guy, and Dilfer I think does stuff with
I'm
him.
Going
and
blank,
he,
but
yeah, he's the hot guy. So maybe you go out there and I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of good quarterback coaches out there. I know I was talking to Brunell, who's been around a lot, and I was asking him about good quarterback coaches. He's been around, and he thinks Matt Kavanaugh is probably the best quarterback coach he's ever been around up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
There's a handful of guys that are probably really good out there.
Zeke Pike, is that it?
No, it's Whitfield or something like that is his name.
The guy in California.
Yeah, it's like George Whitfield, or I think that's his name, actually. Go ahead, John. Tell us what you would do.
Can I now say who I want?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and you mentioned the guy.
Let me guess.
Bring back Mark Waddell, have him in our quarterback coach. Somebody that really is active in this town, that likes this town. And then on the offensive line, a guy named Tony Baselli. Defensive line,
Loggy.
Roggeman.
Yeah,
Joe Collins doing a great job.
Guys that are here, that know this team and love this team, and let him help coach him.
And Sexton can get the water.
Yeah, thanks. I could do it.
And I can interview him again. You're right, that is his name, George Whitfield.
George Whitfield.
Yeah.
Hey, it'd be the coldest water you ever had, baby.
Thank you very much.
I do want to throw a serious name out there of a former Jaguar who coaches, and that's Keenan McCardell.
Keenan is doing an outstanding job in with the Redskins. And
he's not a quarterback guy.
Keenan would be a great receiver coach to bring back here.
Be outstanding.
Very, very good.
I'm a big believer in having history involved in the organization. You know, not to the extent that the Raiders, to where you tell a head coach, hey, this guy's going to be your wide receivers coach and this guy's going to be your running backs coach. But where it's valid, absolutely, you get somebody that has a belief and a love for a franchise to be on the coaching staff. You know, Paul Spicer is an assistant coach here on the staff. Keenan McCardell is in Washington. And I'm not saying, hey, look, they need to have jobs. First of all, they've got to have a legitimate reason to be here. They've got to be good at coaching first. But Keenan, I think, has proven
he's
that
a good coach.
A very good coach.
No, he is.
And he's a wide receiver that when he played the game, he didn't play it with great skill. He played it at a high level because he learned all the nuances of playing wide receiver. And a guy like that, I think guys like that, guys that had to earn and work hard to get to where they were, I think make the best coaches. And, you know, in Tennessee, there's a couple of them.
Right.
You know, Mike Munchak and Bruce Matthews, who's now their offensive line coach, are two perfect examples.
Yeah, but those are two pretty naturally talented individuals, too.
Yeah, but they worked.
Bruce Matthews was – he can play all five positions. Munchak, Hall of Famer. I mean,
and back
I get what you're saying. It's more the work ethic and the grinding and the understanding the position, the nuances of whatever position it is. And Keenan is from I saw him, did a game, a Redskin game. Keenan's always been one of my favorite players. I think
still got the same hair, dude.
Yeah, same. Looks no different.
Looks still, like he still plays.
Still thinks he can play.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
That's right.
And but all the reports that you hear is that he – and you watch his guys play, and they play well.
And he not only thinks he can play, he probably thinks he can play at a pretty high level.
No, I guarantee
you. But, you know, the interesting thing about Keenan that I think helps him be a good coach and that you have to have – I was never around a player who I thought cared about it and wanted to be good more than Keenan. I mean, you know, as much as we joke about how he has the confidence to know he can play, he really cares about being
–
yeah, I mean, it was as important to him.
Competitive people I've ever been around
absolutely.
In my life.
You know, right after – before we go to break here, right after – he'd been out of the league about a year, and he came back to the Tom Coughlin J-Fund Gala. And I said to him, I said, hey, why don't you come up in Houston and join Loggie and I in the booth? You know, he lives there. He said, man, I'm playing this year. And I said, really? I mean, you were out of football last year. He goes, I'll be back this year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and he looked – he was dead serious.
He was so competitive that he just so competitive, even like in cards, which made him a great guy to have at the table.
With that, we break for news. You'll figure out what Loggie means there. News is next from the good folks at News Talk WOKV. Then another half hour of Jaguars Radio.
Side 20.
All right, rolling right along here. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Boselli, John Osher, Joe Fortunato. Before we go back to the phone, just a broad question. Is Saturday's game in Nashville a winnable game for a team with a 32nd ranked offense and a defense that's hanging on with, what, 10, 12 guys who are new since the middle of November?
Yes, because Tennessee's not very explosive.
Right, the matchup does not exploit what has become weak on the Jaguars the way the two – big losses of that. I mean,
well, whereas last week's game against Atlanta, I mean, Roddy White, Julio Jones,
well, San Diego
Tony
Gonzalez.
Was the same
one. San Diego was the exact same problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You had Malcolm Floyd and Vincent Jackson and Antonio Gates
against the one area that had been weakened,
which is a secondary that's much depleted. Whereas Matt Hasselbeck is captain checkdown. I mean, if the ball has to go over 10 yards, his accuracy goes down the tube. You know, so this is a good matchup for the Jaguars and certainly a winnable game.
I'm surprised they're not playing Jake Locker. I think he gives them a better chance of winning.
He's been in a couple of games. What, four of the last five games?
I've seen the
he's
two
been
games.
In five this year
the
total.
Two games he's played extensively are two games that we did.
He had 282 yards against the Saints.
That's the game we did. He looked really good.
And he has 4 touchdown passes on the year.
I mean, yeah. And the Saints, he looked really good.
Yeah, he
adds an athletic ability. He moves around.
He's athletic. He's not very accurate.
Big arm.
He's got a very good arm, but his accuracy is an issue. But there's no question in his mobility and his competitive fire. And last week's game against Indianapolis, he was inserted into the game with about 6 minutes to go after Hasselbeck's second interception in the ball game. And at that point, Indianapolis was up. You know, it was 2-score lead, 2-touchdown lead.
Teeing off.
And, no, I mean, Indianapolis was playing their linebackers at 12, 15 yards deep. He never threw a pass past 10 yards in the entire time that he was in a game. So the numbers don't exactly jive, I think, with the actual talent that Jake Locker has. I mean, he looks good. In the preseason, when he played New Orleans in the preseason, he was lights out. I mean, lights out.
Well, I've seen
out.
Him twice in games that meant something. That New Orleans game meant something, and he was out. I mean, they were in it. I mean, he came in. They were dead to rights. He brought them all the way back and had a last play of the game to win it against a good Saints. I mean, I think he's – 2 times I've seen him live, very impressive.
How about their defense?
Young.
They're average.
Young, average.
Their top pass rusher is that rookie defensive tackle.
Klug.
Carl Klug.
Hard worker. Grinder.
He reminds me of Mike Lotish.
Yeah.
That's you a know, good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, watch
you know who's not playing
team.
All that great or that
Finnegan?
Impactful? No, is
Jason Jones.
Jason Jones. He just runs into
people. Looks hurt. He still looks hurt.
He just runs into them.
Yeah, but watching him play, it looks like he's still favoring that knee.
Yeah, it just doesn't look
And he's good. Out of position. I mean, Tony.
He should be a D-tackle.
He should be a defensive tackle or a left defensive end. And they
he's
have
not
him,
a right end.
They got him as a right end, which is a space end.
And he can't beat really good tackles.
And the first-round pick from last year, Morgan?
Derek Morgan. Derek
injuries
Morgan. He should be the one that's but, playing right
I think
out.
He's been fighting injuries. He had the knee last
year. Well, he, had, yeah. he tore his knee last year in October.
And he tweaked
He started
again.
Like the last 7 or 8 games. So he's been on the field. He's athletic. He's a solid player. He's only going to get better.
Yeah.
But he's way more athletic than Jason Jones.
Jason Jones is a big old body.
But he's only about a year removed from that knee. So,
who's the best player on their defense? How about Akeem Ayers, the linebacker?
The other kid's better. McCarthy, the middle linebacker.
Stepped in for Colin Rude.
Colin McCarthy.
I disagree with that. I watched the tape on the rookie McCarthy, and his name is Colin McCarthy.
Yep.
He was a 52, fourth-round pick.
Miami kid.
He's not very instinctive. He's physical, but his instincts and reading plays aren't very good. When you watch him and you compare him to Posluszny, it ain't even.
Well,
in
he's
the
not
Posluszny.
I disagree with you. As a rookie, I think he's. I mean, he was AFC Player of the Week. He was had 4 straight games of double-digit tackles. I mean, he is the lead he, on a defense.
He's a try-hard guy.
Yeah, I think he's more than that. I mean, I've watched 2 games of tape on him, and I think he's. Is he a Posluszny? No, but he's a good – for a fourth-round draft pick, starting a middle linebacker, he's a guy who can start a middle linebacker for a long time for you. He's better than Ayers, I think.
No, talent-wise, Ayers is a better talent.
Well, it's amazing. McCarthy makes the plays, though. He ends up on the tackle.
Well, he's a middle
more.
Linebacker. He should. You know, middle linebackers in the middle of the play, they should make more
for
plays.
Whatever reason, he's one of those guys that leads the team in tackles and ends up causing and recovering more fumbles than anyone else.
Well, the leading tackler is the safety. That's
no, I know,
not
but
a
I'm
good
saying,
sign.
Yeah, but since he's been in there, I mean, he hasn't played the whole year.
Right.
How about the offensive line for Jacksonville? Does Whimper sit this week? I mean, he's had that knee, didn't practice again today.
Yeah, that's one of the first times he's actually missed. Yeah. So it might be that, you know, he's wearing down enough where you give Bradfield a chance.
Yeah, we've been talking for weeks about you
Find
know,
out.
Guy Whimper's been struggling with a leg
right.
issue. Didn't
I think
really
you
know
find
what
out what
was.
Barfield has too.
Bradfield played had to start at Pittsburgh
yeah.
when obviously they had an issue there with Evan Britton before the game and Eugene Monroe couldn't go and all of a sudden Bradfield had to start at left tackle. Did a tremendous job.
A real good job.
And then in last week's game, just okay, you know, but he's got some talent. I mean, undrafted free agent from you know West Sonoma State.
Give him some reps.
Whatever.
Grand I'm not Valley huge State. On necessarily. Hey. Let's throw all the rookies in there at this stage and give them a chance. But in that case,
yeah,
it's probably time.
Let them play. You know, so, hey, I think it'll be fine. It's not
Finnegan,
like
going back to your question,
sure.
Cortland Finnegan's playing much better this year.
Okay. Remember and last year he had the mental issues. He was fighting with
everybody. The word is, the reason he's playing so well, yeah. It's a contract year. They said the last time he played this well was 4 years ago during his contract year.
Well, which is about right.
Yeah.
But he's a good player. Yeah, he's a good player.
Last year he just lost his temper, remember, with Andre Johnson and there were
safeties or their guys.
Yeah, the kid from Texas, Griffin.
God, he gave up a big pass
He'll give up a home run. He'll get out of position and give up some huge plays.
Gave up a home run touchdown to Reggie Wayne in cover two, and it was an easy play for him to make and an easy
angles.
Read. And it was just a bad read, a bad angle, and got smoked. And then, really, he had a chance to make the play, even considering those two things. And he didn't play the ball.
Yeah.
You know?
He's just a guy.
And he made the Pro Bowl a couple years ago. And
last year,
he was terrible.
Yeah, he made it again last year. He's made two.
Phooey.
And then Chris Hope, who's been pretty solid for him.
And they have all,
Chris Hope's not been playing.
And then they have Ultron Werner's the other.
Phooey.
Ultron Werner is the other corner.
Yeah, him and McCourty.
The kid from UCLA.
Yeah, McCourty's been playing a lot.
Yeah, McCourty's
been coming in.
Werner, I think he might play the nickel. He might come in nickel. He plays outside. They put Finnegan inside on the nickel.
The rotating Babineau and Hope, and then McCourty starting. Werner comes in on nickel.
So you answered the question. Yes, it's a winnable game. Now here's the question: can Maurice Jones-Drew gain yardage against this defense?
If Donald Brown can get 161,
that's where I was going.
Maurice Jones-Drew can handle it.
That's where I was headed.
Yes.
Well, more. I mean,
he needs 239 for
Donald Brown
record.
Busted a couple, which
39 and 80.
Maurice admitted last week he should have scored on the 43-yarder, and he said he's not as fast as he should be. It's something he's going to work on in the offseason. So Donald Brown had the one pop that got him from 81 to 60, to 161.
It was a great run, too.
Yeah, but clearly Maurice Jones-Drew, he ran against him in the opener. And, they've run on everybody. There's only been one game where this team hasn't had Maurice above 80 yards. He's been remarkably consistent.
Well, the Titans have allowed 150 or more yards five times this year, and twice that was over 200 yards, including last week. When the Colts run for 205 on you, that's not a running team.
Well, you know what, though? They've kind of changed their philosophy.
Yeah, they're running better than they have.
They got a fullback on the field.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which they haven't had in years. But
they've got a fullback on the field. I mean, a true fullback. Never would have thought I'd see the day
when the Colts would go there.
They've got a fullback on the field.
For years, they considered that a waste of a roster position.
For their offense, it was.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely it was.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's take our last break and then take a look around the league this Christmas weekend. You're listening to Jaguars This Week, and it's presented by Aetna, live from Everbank Field in Jacksonville, and only on Jaguars Radio.
What?
Welcome back. You were just going through some of the Pro Bowl balloting.
Yeah, and this is the actual fan results, which is
It's one-third of the voting, right?
Yeah. And
Which is why you should always listen to fans.
Yeah, and then some of them are – it's a shame that some folks aren't on this. Maurice Jones-Drew, number two in the AFC, behind Arian Foster.
Arian Foster should not be the number one vote getter.
No.
He's not even in the top five in rushing in the NFL.
No, that's kind of surprising, but at least Maurice is in the top two. That's a good thing. Greg Jones is not even in the top five in fan voting at the fullback position.
Who are the – give me the top three.
Vonta Leach.
Okay, Baltimore. He's a good player.
Jacob Hester, San Diego.
Okay, keep going.
Marcel Reese, Oakland. James Casey, Houston. He's been hurt a ton of the year. And then John Connor of the Jets.
Big markets.
I mean,
almost all big markets. So because you have to look at fan voting, the bigger markets have a huge advantage because there's more people. And so for positions like fullback that people don't know who
plays. That's not based on numbers.
Not based on numbers. And the average fan, and this is not a knock against the average fan, they don't know which fullback's playing well. And so what does the fan do?
They
go vote for
the
guy on their team because that's the name they know.
All right,
so you go to the big markets, and that's typically where the fullbacks will come out of.
Left tackle, or should I say tackle, Michael Oher, number one vote getter amongst fans.
Yeah, he's not the best tackle in football.
Matt Light. Patriots number two.
No.
Jake
Long. But Matt Light's a good
player.
Good player.
But he's not a top five.
Jeff, you know,
right now he might be. Jeff, he's not that many left tackles right now.
Think about this, because we were, I don't, was it me and you, Osh, or somebody were talking about this. Tell me, in the AFC, the best tackles right now.
Joe Thomas would be up there.
Is he great, though?
He's really good.
Well, okay, he's good.
Yeah, he's really good. I'd put him at great. I mean, athletically, he's phenomenal. Mm.
Okay.
But is there anybody in the league right now who would be in the top five when Tony, Pace, Ogden?
No.
When that group? I mean,
no.
it's Gary it's Zimmerman, an amazing drop-off.
No. Tony Jones?
No.
Walter Jones?
Yeah.
I mean,
now, Walter Jones was phenomenal.
But think about the tackles that played back.
Well, here's another surprise.
Willie Rofe.
How about Chad Clifton, the number
Chad
one
Clifton
vote getter?
Chad Clifton hasn't played for 8 weeks.
He
has not played football maybe 10 weeks because he's been hurt.
Brian Bulaga, number two vote getter.
They both played for the Packers.
The
he's not even playing very good.
Some other surprises: Pittsburgh Steelers number two vote getter guard Chris Kemoiatu.
I don't even think he starts anymore. I think he got benched. If I was correct, I could be wrong about
that.
He
started when we were there in October.
But I don't think he starts any longer because I did a Pittsburgh game and he was not starting. 2 weeks ago, he didn't start.
Here's another surprise: AFC centers, not one mention of Alex Mack of Cleveland, who
Pouncey's
is a
number
fine
one,
football.
Probably, right?
Pouncey's number one.
Now
Mangold's
been
number two.
Very good,
but he's been
hurt. This year.
Mangold been hurt. Number two.
Mangold only missed two games though. He's very good.
So
that's those two are fine. Fine with those two.
They've got Kemoiatu on their depth chart this week as the starter at left guard in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, maybe he was hurt then.
The defensive ends, NFC, they got them right.
Some teams don't change their depth chart no matter what. Set for the year. Right. So that doesn't mean – I mean, because one thing you learn doing different games every week, some of these depth charts you get,
they have nothing
to do
with
who's actually playing.
Yeah, we've seen that over the years.
Especially the Patriots.
Inside linebackers, number one vote getter, AFC, Ray Lewis.
As good as Ray Lewis has been, that's a legacy vote. He has not been the best middle linebacker in football this year.
Posluszny not even in the top five.
Posluszny.
How, by the way.
But that's a legacy vote. You know that.
Right.
Yeah. I get that.
Most are.
But Pat Angerer, DeQuell Jackson, Nick Barnett, and Brian Cushing's a hell of a player.
Brian Cushing should be up there probably one.
Well, how is Pat
Angerer? One, two. Right up there. And then Posluszny
should
be
right
up there, one, two. Yeah.
Pat Angerer. How does he – I don't know.
Great name.
Don't know.
I mean, the Colts great have middle
linebacker
this year.
He's not a bad player,
he's
but
not,
he should
he's
not
as
be
good
in
as
that
as
group.
Wasn't
he? No, not at all. I'm just saying
it's
he's
a great
not
name,
bad.
Though.
Sure.
No, I won't.
Well, Paz isn't a bad name.
No, but if you had no idea who you're voting for, you see
right.
Anger. You're going with that guy.
Any other surprises? Corner, Woodson, Rogers, Nnamdi Asamoah, number three in the NFC. I don't think so.
I haven't hardly seen him play, but all I've read is he's not been what they thought he was.
Because they play a lot of zone, and he's a man corner.
Okay.
He can get lost in the zone a little bit.
Let's see here. AFC strong safety, Polamalu, George Wilson of the Bills, Brian Dawkins.
George Wilson's a good player.
Is Brian Dawkins still, though? What is this season?
Brian
he's
still
16. Playing well.
You know, he was hurt last week. He hurt his neck, so he didn't play.
Yeah, but he's been playing
I know
well.
He's a local
he's been
guy
playing
all,
very well.
Okay. That's amazing you can play that position as long as he has.
Very well.
Coming Brian Dawkins in high school.
Free safety, the top two, Ed Reed, Eric Weddle.
Well,
no
Eric,
surprise there.
Ed Reed's been it's unbelievable.
For the NFC, Morgan Burnett, Green Bay. I don't know the guy. Deshaun Goldson, 49ers.
He's good.
Gotcha. Gerald Sensabaugh, number five, former Jaguar.
Cowboy.
Kickers. Josh Gobe's not on the list.
Well, he's not going to be. He only has 20 attempts this year.
Right.
He hasn't had an attempt in the last 3 weeks. I mean, I love Josh, and he's done a great job when he gets a chance, but it's not his fault.
He hit his peak after the three field goals from 50 yards against the Ravens on Monday night.
That's it.
Yeah.
The biggest tragedy for this team is that Greg Jones should have mention. He should be number one. He's the best fullback, in my opinion, in the AFC. I think Uche Nwaneri should have mention in the AFC amongst the top guards. Uche's had a wonderful year. But, you know, I mean, it's surprising, but it's not. You know, it's fan voting.
We're 4-10.
You know, it's amazing when you look at this list, when you get to the numbers, you know, for example, you look at the guys that are pass rushers. You know, you get what you would expect to get out of the pass rushers. I mean, defensive ends.
That's because that's a number game. It's an easy one to pick.
Jared Allen, Jason Babin, Julius Peppers, Chris Long, Osa Umenyiro.
It's an easy one to pick.
Numbers.
The positions that aren't numbers games are almost always legacy votes.
Legacy votes.
It takes
votes,
a year of people talking about them on TV
or market
until the fans
votes.
Catch up.
Market
right.
or legacy. And here's the problem with our team. So we've had three national televised games. The first one was a long time ago where we played well.
Right.
The last two national televised games, we have been blown out, and the commentary about our team has been extremely negative.
If the voting takes place after the Ravens, Poslesny probably makes it.
Absolutely.
After two blowout wins, no matter how well he's
doesn't
playing,
matter. People,
it's not going to matter.
Doesn't matter.
All right.
Bottom, yeah, it's reality.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a shame. But that's
it's
what
a
it
shame,
is.
But it is how it is.
But that, I think
you
that's
know,
why.
I say it is what it is, Jeff.
Pro Bowl is not everything.
Right.
No.
You know,
it's the All-Pro team that carries more weight, right?
Somewhat. I mean, I think there's some.
Voted on by the Associated Press.
Yeah, you know, there's some politics involved with that, too. I mean,
there is, but at least the guys on the AP vote.
Have an idea.
They try.
I would love to see a general manager's All-Pro team.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But they would never.
But it would have to be an honest one.
Well, but that's what you'd have to do.
Because the same stuff goes on now that went on back in the day. And if you got a guy you think deserves it, you're going to vote for a guy that has no chance.
Sure.
That's the problem. Anytime you get human nature into these voting things, it's never going to be 100% above board.
And we end on that. Safe travels. Merry Christmas.
Yes. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Fine.
As our head coach.
All the talk is over.
Thank you, Joe.
Merry Christmas.
Take care, folks. Talk to you this weekend.